Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This morning, we're looking at the place of prayer in our lives. And we're looking at the parable of the friend at midnight. And to understand this, I think just a little background. At night, in a Jewish home, back in biblical times, you just have one room. Everybody, the wife, the husband, the kids, are all sleeping on the floor in the same room. So if somebody comes knocking at your door asking for help in the middle of the night, it's really inconvenient. You've got to get over all these people to get the bread or whatever's necessary. But with the custom of the day, if you have a visitor coming and you don't have anything and you have to go to your neighbor, that neighbor, by honor, has to respond. Honor's very important. And if the guy is a real slouch, he's still going to respond if you keep pestering him, okay? That's important. Here is the parable. And Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a visitor has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. And Jesus then says, you know, this is unthinkable. And suppose he answers from within, don't bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and get you anything. This is just unthinkable in the society. I tell you, even though he will not get up and get him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any one of you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. There's a story about a priest and a truck driver. Think winter. All right, it's a blizzard. The snow is coming down, and the truck driver has a flat, and he pulls off to the side. And he's trying to change the tire. And the lugs of the tire will just not come off. As hard as he tries, the lugs will not come off. And he's very grumpy, and he's swearing like a trooper. And the priest comes along, and in that kind of weather, you stop because a person's life could be in danger. You stop if someone's sidelined during a blizzard. And the priest stops. And he hears all this swearing going on, and he says to the truck driver, son, my son, you know, don't talk like that. You should pray. And the truck driver grumbles and says, oh, hell, okay. And there's a moment of silence. And then he gets down in the snow again, and he takes his wrench to the lugs on the tire, and all of a sudden they come off with ease. And the priest says, "Well, I'll be damned." What place does prayer have in your life? What place does it have in mine? I think we talk a lot about prayer, but do we really believe in its power? Jesus did. And in the text this morning, he is faced with his disciples. They come to him and ask him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And this is where he gives them the Lord's Prayer. And then immediately after he gives them the Lord's Prayer, he gives the parable of the friend at midnight. And he says, you know, imagine you're a person. A friend comes to visit at midnight, late at night. Everyone's asleep. And you have nothing in the cupboard whatsoever. So you go to your neighbor to get some bread so you can feed your guest who's come. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that neighbor saying to you, you know, "Hey, it's midnight, the kids are asleep. Don't bother me, go away." And Jesus says, that's unthinkable. If a person does not respond out of honor, he will respond because you're so persistent. And his point is that, you know, if you know you can go to your neighbor even late at night, even though it's a great inconvenience for him, if you know you can go to your neighbor and he will always answer, "Yes, I will give you that bread," how much more so can you approach our Heavenly Father in the confidence that your prayer will be heard? How much more so? A lot of people say they believe in God, but they don't pray because they don't think prayer does any good. How do you feel about that? For Jesus, there is a very deep confidence that we are not praying into a void, but we're praying to a God who cares, a God who invites us to come to him, a God who listens when we pray and hears our prayers. Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and you will find. Open. Knock and it will be open to you. I think if you look on the back of your bulletin, there's a picture of Durer's praying hands. And I think Durer sort of expresses something of the trust in God that we find in Jesus. Durer, if you can remember back to school, was part of the German Renaissance. He'd be late 400s, early 500s, somewhere in there. And this painting of the praying hands is famous. It's famous. I don't know what I'm doing here. But the story is that Durer and his friend were young, struggling artists. And there's no way that they could both afford to go to art school. And so the friend said, "Listen, I'll go to work. Durer, Albrecht Durer, you study art and become established. And then when you're established, I'll go to school and get my training after that." And so Durer went on and he became an established artist in his own right. But at that point, after so much manual labor, his friend's hands we're no longer able to paint anymore. You know, they were calloused, they were bruised, knotted and so forth. And Durst saw his friend at one point in prayer, praying like this. And he said to himself, there is no way I can restore skill to those hands. But I can show my love and gratitude to my friend by painting his hands as they are in prayer. And if you look at that picture, it's interesting the way he's done that and what he's saying in the way he's portrayed those hands. You notice on the back, the veins are swollen. This as if the hands were wrapped around an axe handle. Praying is hard work, it's strain. At the same time, look at the way he's done the hands. What touches? The tips of the fingers and the heels of the hand. This is a portrayal of peace. This is a man who knows in whom he believes. We too know in whom we believe. There's that calm, and there's the position of the hands themselves. This is the way we often pray. This is a variation of that. But it goes back to the feudal system in Europe. And it's the position of a serf as he proclaims his loyalty to the baron of the castle. The baron places his hands over the serf's hands as the person proclaims himself the Lord's man, the baron's man. And in the same way, when we're praying like this or like this, we're saying that we are the Lord's man and woman. It's a statement of loyalty. Prayer is a part of daily life. It's part of the DNA of the Christian life. And there's a statement of prayer that I've liked. And this actually comes from the Catechism of the United Church of Canada. And we're in relationship with that church. And this is what it says. Prayer is the laying of our lives open before God in gratitude and expectancy, casting ourselves on his mercy and love, telling him all the desires of our hearts, listening to his voice, and accepting his way for our lives. Let me read that again, because I think it's nicely put. Prayer is the laying of our lives open before God in gratitude and expectancy, casting ourselves on his mercy and love, telling him all the desires of our hearts, and listening to his voice and accepting his way for our lives. Thy will, not mine, be done. God is real and trustworthy. We can approach him. He calls us to come to him and to lay our prayers before him. This does not mean that we'll get everything we want, but it does mean, I think, that we will get what we need for the time. And This is illustrated, at least for me, by an old children's story. Have you heard the children's story about the prayers of the three trees in the forest? Do you know this one at all? There are three trees in the forest, and each of these trees had a prayer. And the first tree prayed that it might be used to build a great palace where kings would be. The second tree prayed that it would be used to become a great ship, and all the other little boats would have to get out of its way. And the third one prayed that it would become a great cathedral, just tall above all the other buildings of the city. The woodsman came, and the first tree was cut down. This was the tree that wanted to become a great palace where kings and queens would live. But it was cut into rough-hewn planks, and it was used for a stable and a manger, a donkey's feed box, in which the infant Christ was placed. About 30 years later, the woodsman came back again for the second tree, and this was the one who wanted to be a great boat where the other little ships would have to get out of its way. And instead, it was cut into planks again, but used more for a rowboat, in which the adult Christ sat as he taught the crowds on the land. Then about 3 years later, another woodsman came along for the third tree, and this one wanted to be a great cathedral, you know, where it would just tower over the city. Only it was cut rough-hewn for a cross on which the Christ was hung for our salvation. Now, in each case, the prayer of the tree was answered. In a very deep sense, the prayer of the tree was fulfilled, though it wasn't in exact accord with what the tree had asked for. There was a fulfillment there nonetheless. Jesus said, suppose now you had a neighbor, and you were short of bread, and a visitor had come late at night, and you went to get bread, even though it was a great inconvenience for the neighbor to be jumping over the kids who were asleep and everything. You know, by honor, that person's going to get up to help you, regardless of the inconvenience. How much more so will your Heavenly Father respond to your prayers? Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and it will be opened to you. Search and you will find. The Holy Spirit will be given to you. Amen.